The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
Good morning, DKC. My Lord, we haven't been together in a while. Y'all can do better than that. I've heard it louder than this at some of the SYA basketball and football games. We can be louder than this, I know. Good morning, TKC. Yeah, we're here. Amen. We're here for a time of encouragement. We're not at a funeral. As I've been doing this whole week, for people who may be hearing me for the first time and they don't understand the drill like you all do, I do hand out 10 amens per person. And you get to spend those any way you want to during this service. If the Lord says something that touches your heart and it comes out of this mouth, and you feel like you want to invest one of those to him, then I would encourage you strongly to do so. It is good to be back in this fellowship arena, if you will. We have much more work to do from when we were last here in a massive way. But I think God is at work in all of us. I think God is doing something in our midst. Yeah, okay, well, don't say the amens. We only got 40 minutes here. Listen, God is doing something in our midst. If you didn't recognize, we're in a pandemic right now. We're in the midst of a coronavirus and all of what it's doing to the land. And we also have, only God could give us the opportunity to bring about an ethnic confrontation explosion in our midst. I was trying to explain this last night. It's like getting those wonton soup, and you get those little noodles in there. And so the pandemic is the noodle. And then in the noodle, there's a piece of meat, which makes the noodle wonderful to me. So in this case, that little piece of meat inside the noodle is, man, we got to figure out whether black people and white people are the only people on this earth. We got to get that figured out. Because, amen, that's a good, listen, sister, I agree with you. And it is obvious that they're not going to figure it out in the culture. That's not going to happen. And if there's ever time for a message that's coming to the King's Chapel family, it is today. We're at a crossroads in Christendom. And you say, well, Pastor Milton, there's only a few of us here. We only need 12. We only need 12. If you read in your scriptures, the book of Acts, 12 folks turned the whole world upside down. Well, there were several turning the world upside down in D.C. this past week. And so if we can get just 12 people who believe what God says, who believes that what God says is true, I think we will have this revival that we have all been looking for. If you have your Bibles with you, as Mark said, turn to John chapter 4. And let me just tell you how my relationship is growing greater and greater with your pastor, Pastor Mark. Well, certainly all the pastors, but he's, I don't know what it is. He finds a way to have conversations with me, and then we just start throwing up on each other. It's just a good, spiritually speaking, I'm saying. I mean, we just, yeah. And it's just a good time to have. And if you don't have somebody in the fellowship that you can walk with, that you can throw up on, I encourage you to do so. Now, this morning's message is titled, Are You Thirsty? Are You Thirsty? And it's centered around John chapter 4, where I see in this text that there is a thirst going on. As a matter of fact, the text opens up with Jesus wanting a drink of water. And so before we get to the end of it, we find out that he's not the only one that's thirsty. And so this morning, I want you to take this message personally. I want you to take this message internally. That's never been the goal of the King's Chapel and the leadership here and the pastors here, to play church, to just come and check the box and say, I was there. And then we go back out of those doors and the world around us never changes. What a slap in God's face. Now listen, when I say this, I'm speaking to the church family, and the only reason that is going to be a problem, and let me say this, I'm not calling you all dogs, okay? But I've heard it said way before, long ago, if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the only one that hollers is the one that got hit. And so, now keep in mind, I love you, I'm not calling you dogs. Say we love you, Pastor Milton. Yes. Okay, that was a joke. I mean, that was, anyway. The only way this is going to be a problem message for you this morning is if you are guilty. If you're not guilty, this ought to make you just bolt from your seat. You ought to be trying to borrow others' amens who haven't said amens yet, because it should be an encouragement to you. We're going to see some things in this scripture that speaks to the culture that we're living in right now. And if there's any question I've heard over the past week, what do we do now? What happens now? The protests won't always be going on, however quiet they are. But when they picked up the last water bottle and the last piece of trash and all the people have returned, what now? You see, the crowds that have been all over the country having these protest marches and doing this, that, and the other, that's fine and dandy. It makes a show. It makes a stand. But for the church, it is far bigger than that. It is far greater than that. And so I wrote you a letter before I just get into the text here. I wrote you a letter. I wrote a letter, period. I'm always writing, and stuff comes out, and so I just write it down. Will you let me read this to you this morning? And I title it, What Must We Do? Given the most recent pandemic outbreak of racism this past week, we must be careful as believers not to view it through the circumstances in Minneapolis, but through the eyes of Christ. This element is not a new narrative, but merely a continuation of a perverted nation under spiritual siege because she dismissed her God. America didn't just avoid God. She arrogantly told God, get out of my family, get out of my school, get out of my government, and in some cases, get out of my church. This downward spiraling towards God's wrath of correction was inevitable. Would our God sit back and accept this godless, idolatrous attitude of mankind without eventually rectifying it? Yet even through all the chaos and confusion, the blood of his love still oozes towards us. Repentance is near us, even in our mouths. The darkness manifested in the George Floyd video revealed an injustice and ignited multiple injustices across the land. Yet it is only a snapshot of the principle of the beginning of birth pains that Jesus mentions in Matthew 24. Jesus also says, and I say to you, don't be misled and don't be afraid. These things must happen. They must take place. Jesus further states that because lawlessness increased, the hearts of many will grow cold. And with the breath of this pastor, I refuse to let that coldness take place here in the King's Chapel. Yeah, that would have been a good place to say amen, but God never stops showing us that we need a Savior. And he has lovingly provided one in Jesus. Mankind has proven time and time again that we need divine instruction and divine guidance to harmoniously live together. Yet we reject God's counsel. Over and over, each time the door of human ignorance flings open to display the evil and wickedness that lurks in our hearts. It won't stop because we keep talking about possible solutions. What good is it to set up roundtables of discussions drawn from man's wisdom that comes from lawless, depraved minds. My heart certainly goes out to the eternal future of Officer Chauvin and the other police officers that were eventually brought up on charges. His eternal future burns in my heart, and I genuinely mean that to you, because I know that Jesus died on the cross for him and them as well. His earthly future is pretty well figured out. I think we kind of can read the writing on the wall for that, even if it's done by public opinion and without our court system being involved. But his eternal future, which should be a burden on all of our hearts. My heart goes out to him because it was Officer Chauvin whose head in the moment accomplished a heartless and insensitive and heinous act. I'm burdened by the foolishness of arsonists in our cities and looters who added greed and lawlessness to the grief we were already going through. And certainly my heart goes out to the Floyd family, who has to mourn and continue to mourn over having lost a loved one like that. And so my brothers and sisters, listen, in times like this, when emotions are high and we see openly what man desires, those of us who know the Lord must allow our emotions to be edified by truth, knowing what it is that God desires. So what must we do? God etched the answer in Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Love in Christ, Pastor Milton. I wasn't going to read that until I got out of bed this morning, but I want us to hear this. I don't want us to just hear another sermon from the text of John chapter 4, but I want us to wear this. And I'm okay if somebody sounds the gong when I need to sit down, because we're in two service modes now. So I'll be doing this twice. So if I don't get finished here, I'll finish up at the next service, and you all can come back to that. Nonetheless, the call of the church, the call of the church to handle God's business has never changed. If there's a message I want to send out to you all this morning, is we can't stop what God charged us to do. Make disciples. Make disciples. I dare say that all of us in here, and most of us in here, are responsible for some of the foolishness that we've seen this week in our cities. Yes, some of that blood is on our hands that took place in Minneapolis. Why? Everybody could see where Officer Chauvin's knee was and whose neck his knee was on, because it was broadcast all over the globe. Everyone could see that. But here's the question to us. Whose neck is our knee on? Whose life are we snuffing out, if you will, because we refuse to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and be the light and salt which this culture is screaming for? They're screaming for light and salt, which is preservation and a thirst to be satisfied, but they also are screaming for light. Show me the way. And when they speak of it, because they are ignorant of it, because the church has not been the light and salt in the culture, they say Black Lives Matter. They say we've got to come together better than what we've been doing, as though it's going to change overnight or even over time if there's no Jesus in it. If there is no Jesus, there is no justice. Justice was authored by Christ. So we're not going to get an answer from Pennsylvania Avenue. That's not going to happen. That's not a political statement, because I love what God has done by creating that office. And so whoever fulfills that office, they get my allegiance. Somebody thought it was going to be a great idea to have a black president. Somebody thought it was going to be a great idea to have a white president. Let me tell you, church, It matters not who is in the White House. It matters much who is in our house. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are the mirror of God's love to a culture that's hurting now. That culture doesn't even have to spill out in the street. That culture is right in here at the King's Chapel. And if we can't learn to love one another in here and be light and salt in here, how in the world? All we'll do is react to the news reports. Oh, I haven't started preaching yet, but here we go. Oh, let me try to do this thing. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. I'm going to pick it there, but we're going to talk through this text. You know the backdrop. Jesus has come in. He's thirsty. Or at least the text says that he's weary. It is left up to us to believe or to assume that Jesus was thirsty because he said, give me a drink. Now, don't get too wrapped around the axle that he asked that question, because we're going to learn later on that he never got the drink of water. That would have been a good place to put an amen right there if you follow in this story. No, last thing we see him also say over in John 19, he was thirsty. Ah, but what was he thirsty for? So my question to you is, are you thirsty this morning? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him, underline this in your Bibles, shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. Brothers and sisters, when all of this pandemic and when all of this unrest with ethnicities, and if you have caught on to the fact that I'm using the term ethnicities, that's because that's what it is. It is not racial disharmony. There's only one race. That's the human race. And everybody says, oh yeah, we know that, Pastor Milton, but as soon as this church is over today, we'll go right back out in the culture and start looking at people's skin color. And we will make our decisions based on what skin color we see. Oh, my. And so, this water that Jesus is going to give this woman is going to stop the thirst. In the streets right now and in the political hallways, people are scurrying to come up with answers to tell us how we are going to love one another. Because there is a dying thirst, if you will, a created hunger and I don't know why I'm so loud this morning, but I got a fire in me. There's a hunger and a thirst going on in the culture that says, give me a drink of water. And as Jesus did this woman, who had all kinds of excuses why she couldn't, because Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. Let me help you with today. According to the narrative of the culture, blacks and whites don't get along. Now, I know this is going to come as a surprise to you, and some of you look pretty shocked. You look pretty. But I am a black man. I know that's going to come as a shock and a surprise. But let me say it for this reason. If you anchor on that fact and you're not a black person, you're going to be eaten up by this narrative. In fact, there are many of you in here right here this morning and on the stream who are living under the guilt and the weight, listen, of being white. Well, what have we created? How does this get better? Are we just trying to shift the guilt from what black people were feeling, from the experiences from white people? And just by the way, let me just make this for the record. I get up to here with it, man, when we only talk about black and white people. Sister, I'm gonna preach to you. Yeah, I am. If I were Hispanic in this culture, and if I'm Asian in this culture, what about me? Oh, we got you covered, Pastor Milton. We put in a little addendum for you. We added people of color. Like somehow that makes it all right. I mean, well, we're better now. Listen, brothers and sisters, even to talk about this is stupid. It's just foolish. And I know you're saying, and listen, please understand this. I was a little boy when the whole civil rights thing was kicking off. A lot of people misunderstood Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King wasn't after making life better just for black people. This was a man of God who preached for those who Jesus says, I'm looking for them because they are base and they're despised and they've been kicked to the curb. Let me say this to you. Some of you sitting in this room have been in that same place because those are the ones he says he confuses the world with. And so, I'll get to my points. We've got to have his purpose, church. Stay with his purpose. We've got to have his plan. Stay with his plan. And we've got to, in this culture, stay with his proclamation. His proclamation is this. Jesus has living water for you. Yeah, so his purpose was, and this would be some of us, we see it here because Jesus had a plan to go into Samaria. He says, I must need go to Samaria. He made his trip into Samaria intentional because most white people would not go down through the cities, if you will, because it was too dangerous, life could be lost, and by the way, I don't even like black people. I mean, maybe it said Samaritans and Jews. Maybe I got a little twisted. But anyway, you get the principle. You get to understand what I'm saying here. But Jesus says, no. I'm going to intentionally go and love in Samaria. As much as the woman tried to distract him to the cultural, systemic elements of the day being lived out in the culture, Jesus fought it so that he could give her living water. And he comes to this woman, and this pastor, you have to do your homework on it, but this pastor doesn't believe Jesus was thirsty for water. Because he told us in 4, I gotta go to Samaria. He chose to stop by the well. What a wonderful place to stop. His plan must be our plan. We can't begin to fight the battle of systemic racism. In fact, let me help you with that term. There's no such thing according to the Bible, and that's all I can go by. I love truth. Truth. Well, you will know the truth, and truth will set you free. You will not find God giving us a definition for racism. You know how we know what it is? Because we came up with the term. Then we defined it. Then we say, okay, that's a sin. Well, wait a minute. It began as a sin. Racism is only hatred. And the scriptures, if you get in them, you'll see it's spoken about up and down, left and right, up and down, all around. God's got an answer for sin. Somebody say amen. We'll be able to talk all day long about racism, and we'll never get the answer. But if we live the reduction of that term to sin, now the culture's got to deal with God. Because the only time you can deal with sin, the only way you're going to be transformed by sin, the only way you're going to be forgiven of sin is you got to come through Jesus. Oh, that's my liberty to tell you this morning. I'm not bound by the color of my skin. I am way past that narrative. Been there, done that. Because I've found a living Savior who gives living water that allows me to love next man up. Yeah, and TKC, we got to be that way. And you say, well, Pastor Milton, that's just what you do. No. That's what Jesus does. Don't tell me you're a believer. Don't tell me you belong to Christ. And we can't love one block from here somebody that doesn't look like us, walk like us, and talk like us? Are you kidding me? I was telling my wife on the way to church this morning, we don't have an advantage because I'm black. She didn't know I was black. Because I'm black and she's white. We don't have an advantage. No. We have human problems, just like anybody else. And anybody that's not happy with the fact that we have different skin colors, but our love is Jesus. That's on them. It's not on us. It's not going to keep us from loving. We have to be the same way. Oh, that's kind of risky. You want to know what risky is? Risky is saying in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will be done, but yours. That would have been another place to use an amen right there. Listen, we've got to have his plan. John 4:7, he says, give me a drink. And then this woman says and tries to play the systemic racism card on Jesus. He didn't want to have nothing to do with that. See, how is it that you ask me for a drink of water when you know that Jews and Samaritans, they don't even sit at the same table? My goodness, have you realized I'm a woman? I'm considered unclean, and I'm not the top Samaritan woman. I'm one that's been around. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Because you'll see yourselves in this narrative here. You'll see yourselves. Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God. You see how he didn't want to talk about sin. And let me just say this. I understand there'll be many round tables, many town talks. What do they call them? Town halls. Too many of them. We'll have many town halls. We'll talk about it, and we'll come up with some answers. At least we think we'll come up with some answers. I'm going to not have you turn there, but I'm going to tell you. Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord. Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not found in him. Nor is it in him to order his steps. In other words, we don't know how to fix this, and we don't even know the path for fixing it. But I'm telling you, King's Chapel family, Jesus is the way, and Jesus reveals the path. Now, that might just sound like something good to hear, but I'm telling you something that I'm not only living out, I've experienced it. There are a lot of black people that probably don't like me. There are probably a lot of white people that don't like me. There are probably a lot of Asian people that don't like me. There, especially when I butcher up, kind of learn the language and speak, there's probably a lot of you name it. We cannot get hung up. We cannot get hung up on what color the skin is. But what we have to get hung up on is what thus saith the Lord. Amen? So we are living water carriers. If you take it, note John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among them. The Word became flesh and dwelt among them. And so what I desperately want us to hear this morning, desperately, especially, and you got to be careful now, because if you're not thirsty for being in the culture to live Jesus, then you will want to stick with the cultural narrative too, because it helps you to avoid the issue. Will you take water? Will you get your thirst quenched based on the thirst that the culture needs? Forget you and what you have to risk, and then begin to take water to the culture. Real quick, like, this woman had the nerve to say, give me a drink of that water. Oh, why did she ask that? Because Jesus accommodated her, as he would. You can see him reach in the refrigerator and pull out a cold pitcher of water. Because she asked for a drink. And he says, as I hear the water being poured in the glass of that woman right now, go get your husband. He met her right where she was. And that's the same thing in here. If we misappropriate what living water is, we'll ask for that well water that never satisfies our thirst. It'll keep us running back to the narrative of racism. It'll keep us running back to discussing and having conversations about stuff that's not going to change lives. But Jesus changed lives. He says, you've had five husbands. Five husbands means that she's been on fire trying to find something to quench the thirst. Many of us sit in here the same way. And the one you have right now is not your husband. But as the story ends, Jesus says, I am he. I'm the one you need. And you know how we know she got him? Which it ought to be in us. She left her water pot and went and told someone else in her village. She took them a drink of water. See, if you haven't had your thirst quenched with Jesus, you're not going to be able to quench anybody else's thirst, regardless of what color they are. Don't get hung up on the skin color. Stand to your feet right where you are. I don't even know if the second service will get the same sermon. There's so much in me. I'm pregnant this morning with the Word of God, and I'm telling you right now, the supernatural work that takes place in God's Word will take place in our lives if we endeavor to live it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we do thank you and give you praise for your presence in this place. Lord, I believe that there is work you're doing right now. And Father, that you have living water for each one of us, Lord God. Father, some of us have had that drink, but we've not continued to drink from that pool, that springing up in us. And Lord, we feel so bound by the news that's happening in our midst, Lord, that certainly skin colors will be shut down because they're white, and some will in their mindsets be elevated because they're black. But Lord, you know that there is no life in that. And so, Father, I pray that you would empower each person standing before you here this morning. Lord, I know you're asking, commanding, charging each one of us to repent. To repent. Repent from our apathy. Repent from our lethargic approach and pursuit of you. To repent from our traditional measures of worship of you. To repent from the coldness in our own hearts. And Father, I pray that you do this right now. If you hear this morning and you want to repent, you say, Pastor Milton, I know I have not been carrying water buckets to the fires in the culture. I've done a great job of seeing it important to it, but I've not carried the water bucket that God has given me. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer even loudly or silently, but as the Lord listens to it. Father God, I am your child. I repent. I repent because I've not lived the way you've called me to. I belong to you. Now, Lord, fill me with your boldness to this day forward to live with black men, white men, red men, yellow men, whoever you would bring across my path. Boldness to love them in Christ. So, Father, we thank you for those who prayed that prayer. Now fill them, Lord, with the boldness of obedience. Fill them with the love. And Father, give them a new spirit in here this morning. Those who may be listening this morning from the YouTube or all of the social media arteries, you might not know this Jesus, but I would ask that you would even write in and ask to know him. I know that the family here at the King's Chapel would love to minister to you. If you don't know him, or if you need to repent, give us the testimony that you've repented. And let the Lord Jesus lead you this day forward. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.